Pastor Weigel actually is the one who suggested today's Sunday school lesson to me because one of the times we were speaking, I instituted a little while back, I guess it's getting close to like a year ago, as part of our devotions, we have a copy of the Majesty Music's hymnal, and we're singing through it as a family. And what we do is we sing one hymn for a week. And twice a day on my days off, except for Sunday because of church, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, twice a day. And then on the days I work, when I get home from work after dinner, and we make it part of our devotions. So we read the Bible and then we sing. And then at one point when we got to around hymn number 25, I started doing review. We'd go back and we'd sing an old hymn, and we just do those in sequence, you know, starting with hymn number one. Now those we don't review for an entire week. What we do is each time that we're going to have devotions, we sing a different one. So we go through the review a lot quicker than the new hymns. We're currently getting close to hymn 50. Once I hit hymn 50, we're going to, because we do so much review, I'm going to start reviewing from hymn number 26 through hymn number 50. And then we'll keep doing that at the 25 marks, because I realize that by the time we get to the end of the hymnal, it's going to take forever to get through the review, you know, hundreds of songs. In fact, I was looking at the hymns and I was thinking, I said, this is going to be something like a 10-year plus project. But that's okay. So we've been doing that now for a while. And what spawned this particular, Pastor Weigel said, you know, you should do this, is I was sharing with him how one day I told William, because he was not paying attention and taking part in the hymnal, the hymn singing, I told him, I said, William, I said, the Word of God tells us to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So we need to do this. This is important. And he prefaced it by saying, he said, I have a background in music. He said, I grew up with music, you know, studied music. He said, everybody at the church has heard me speak on this subject before. He said, but you don't. And he said, in fact, you have no interest in music. And he said, so the church needs to hear you speak on this subject. And he's right, I don't. Especially when I was single, my house was always silent. I didn't have a TV. Someone had given me, Jeremy had given me a TV at one point. I believe it was Jeremy. And I gave it back because I never watched it. It just was sitting there. And in fact, there's a TV at my job. And somebody asked about what kind of program you could get on it. And I said, I don't know. I never turn it on. I'm not against it. There's just nothing in me that wants to do that. I'm very much a book-oriented person, thought-oriented person. I've always been that way. I would often, because my house growing up was always full of noise, and I'm not speaking disparagingly of music. I meant noise in general. Heidi was kind of overwhelmed by how loud my family is. I told her once, I said, I'm kind of quiet compared to most of my family. She kind of laughed, and then she met my family and realized I was not exaggerating. If you think I am a loud person, you should meet my family. Heidi was telling somebody about it. She said, they talk all at the same time, at the top of their voices. And what you do is you know, we're having this family conversation sitting at the table. Heidi was stunned. She said, I couldn't believe it. we're sitting there at the table and we're talking and everybody's talking really loud. And all of a sudden I'm like, Mom, hold on. I want to say something. She's like, all right, go ahead, say something. So I said what I wanted to say. And she's like, and she was okay with that. And then at one point, Heidi wanted to say something, but, you know, she didn't know how to insert herself. And so I called for everybody. I was like, hey, Heidi wants to say something. Everybody be quiet. And they're like, okay. What do you want to say, Heidi? She was just stunned by that. But my parents always listened to music. They always had music going. And they liked to listen to lots of different kinds of music. Jazz, rock and roll, R&B, classical, Celtic music, all kinds. So I was surrounded by that my entire life. But I was never given to it. I tried at one point when I was going through my teenage years, I kind of like was trying to fit in. But then one day I realized that it was kind of fake, that I was just trying to be something that I wasn't naturally inclined to being, and so I stopped. But I've always been a thought-oriented and book-oriented person. Until I got married, I would spend a great deal of my free time at the library, just sitting and reading, doing research. But not just imaginative reading, but a lot of research, a lot of reading up on things. I used to take the encyclopedia and just open it and start reading. I'd do that with the dictionary, too. So I've just always been a thought-oriented, book-oriented person. So when I came to the point where I had accepted Christ as Savior and made the decision to start following Him, I was pretty alien to music. I didn't know much about it. And I had no background in the hymns. I just didn't know them at all. But I wanted to take part in what the church was doing. The church at that point, that was a Birch Bay, Bay Community Baptist Church in Birch Bay, Washington. And they used the hymnal, Great Hymns of the Faith. It was the hymnal you guys had before Majesty Music. And a lot of times I had to sit there quiet, just listening because I didn't know the music. And what I did was I borrowed a hymnal and I started studying the words and I started practicing. I would practice at work, you know, because I worked alone a lot, and I'd practice at work and I'd start singing to try to learn the music. And so at first it was just a wanting to take part. So I still don't listen to music for personal pleasure, but you know, for entertainment purposes, but I consider it, because I am a Bible believer, I consider it important to my spiritual life. And so I want to include it in my devotions so that it is there for my children as well. And I wanted to, so Pastor Weigel asked me to look at these verses, as I said. So I want you to turn in your Bibles first. I'm going to read both verses. It's Ephesians and Colossians. I believe it's Ephesians first and then Colossians. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. And then Colossians 3, 16. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19 and Colossians 3, 16. These are the only two verses that have the phrase psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now I'm going to read both of those. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And then Colossians 3, 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There are a lot of parallels between these two verses besides the occurrence of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Both verses are in the section of the epistle that's the practical section. The Apostle Paul always organizes his epistles in the first part is doctrinal, and then the next part, the final part, is practical. He shows them how to use what he's taught in practical ways. And not only is it in the practical section, but both verses are in the immediate context is talking about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And then another parallel between the two is that this phrase, the one says speaking, and the other one says teaching and admonishing, but both are acting as adverbs to commands. So the main verse, that's why Ephesians, I did two verses, 18 and 19, and Colossians, I just did the one verse, because the command in Ephesians is in verse 18, whereas the phrase psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs is in verse 19. This is important because the teaching and the speaking, these aren't standalone, just regular verbs. The main verb occurs before in the form of a command. And in both cases, the command is one where the person is told, where the Christians are told to basically allow or submit to an action. In Ephesians, it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. That's the command. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's a passive command. So it's telling you to submit to or allow this action to happen. And then the command in Colossians is, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's a strange construction in Greek, because it's a third person command. It would be like me saying, he pick up his shoes, you know. It's like I'm talking about him, but I'm issuing a command about him. And that's how this second one is about the word of Christ. And so once again, it's the form of allowing the word of Christ or submitting to the word of Christ to dwell in us richly, productively. And in both of them, the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs act as a way of fulfilling the command. An instrument that, you know, a way of fulfilling this command. I found that interesting when I was studying that. So, consider the two commands. Be filled with the Spirit, not with wine, but with the Spirit, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Being filled with the Spirit is the concept of, you know, like when you're drunk, the alcohol begins to kind of take control, you might say. I remember once when my brother was very drunk and I was tormenting him because he was very drunk. He was feeling very sick from over-drinking, and I stood in front of him and I was doing this. I said, Jake, what's wrong? You don't look so good. You all right? And he's like, stop. Stop. I'm like, what? What's wrong? What am I doing? And he goes, I'm going to remember this. And I went, no, you won't. I never got into the heavy drinking because I got to see what it did to people. God inoculated me against that. I mean, I've tried alcohol. My dad gave us alcohol when I was just, you know, like very young. But I never got into it. Not trying to say, you know, like I'm superior. I mean, no, I think it's nasty. I think it tastes bad. And I didn't like what it did to my brother and to my dad especially. I didn't like the effect. I didn't like the way they acted and such. So I just I kind of blamed substance abuse, alcohol, and drugs on problems that my family had. And so that kind of preserved me from giving myself over to it before I came to Christ. But, so he says instead of giving over to the flesh, he says that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So instead of taking in the, you know, the alcohol to numb our pain and to help us feel good and whatever and relax, I've known quite a few people who said that they can't relax, lost people who say they can't relax except when they're drunk. And so instead of looking to alcohol to meet that need, that emotional need, we ought to be looking to God and allow God to meet that need. And in this, you know, so he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I find this interesting because how do we fulfill that command? And he says, in fulfilling that command, speak to yourselves with music. I wanted to talk briefly. In both verses, the Greek words are the exact same. The English words are the same. The Greek words are the same. Psalms and hymns, we just took the Greek word and changed it a little bit to fit English. The Greek word for psalm is psalmos, and the Greek word for hymn is hymnos. So we just changed the Greek word. Now the word translated song is hode, and we have a word in English that comes from hode. It's the word ode, O-D-E. Especially in the older writing, you'll hear about an ode to So those are the three words. Psalm, I find this interesting when I was studying it out, because first I wanted to study its secular usage. What did it mean in normal Greek? Because it's a Greek word. It's not a Jewish word. It's a Greek word. Psalmos. And it comes from the verb psalo. In fact, it occurs in our verse. It says making melody. Making melody is one word. It's psalo. And that's where you get psalmos from, is from that verb. And it has in its secular Greek meaning instrumental music. Specifically, instrumental music. It comes from, its root means to pluck, as in to pluck the strings of a harp, because that was the primary instrument besides the horned instruments. And so a psalm was a musical piece, was an instrumental musical piece in Greek writing. Now, the Jews used it to translate their verb zamar. And zamar means the exact same thing. It's instrumental music. And so when they translated the Hebrew Old Testament into Greek, they used psalmos to translate zamar. Now, the Psalms, the book of Psalms, you know, that's again that word. Understand that that's what it has as its root idea, is music, is an instrumental music. But we see that in the writing of the Psalms, that the Psalms were meditations on Scripture, reflections on Scripture. Taking Scripture and writing songs about it. The second word, hymnos, or hymn, was a word that meant, so you have psalm, which is a musical piece, And then you have hymnos, which is a song of praise. That's what a hymn is. It's a song of praise. And then the final word, hoda, was just a generic word meaning a song, any song. And in fact, the word, it says, making melody and singing. The word singing is the verb form of hoda, hado. And so I found one writer, he said, when you understand the three concepts, you know, music as an instrumental music, praise, and then just a single song could be all three. It could apply to all three. That these aren't necessarily three different things, that they are characteristics. Because the final is paired with the word spiritual, pneumatikos, spiritual, rather than fleshly. So a song of a spiritual nature or of a spiritual subject. So these aren't three separate things. They're just characteristics that ought to characterize our music. So think about that. He says that instead of looking to alcohol to meet your needs, you're feeling upset, tense, tired, whatever. Instead of going to alcohol, he says, go to God. Ask, you know, instead of, you know, filling yourself with wine or whatever your favorite alcoholic beverage may be. I've never tried a single alcohol that I thought tasted good, but I have tried ones that I just had no understanding why anyone would ever put that in their mouth. And one of those is beer. It just tastes so bad. It's just nasty stuff. But he says, instead of looking to alcohol to meet that need, he says, look to God and His Holy Spirit. And you can do this by turning to music. That this becomes the means of inviting the Holy Spirit to fill you and meet that need. When I first came to Indiana, I got to listen and hear a lot of the debating and talking about what kind of music Christians should listen to and not listen to. And here's the thing. I wasn't raised in church. So I come to this, you know, I came to this with no baggage. I didn't have any, well, this is the way it's always been. I was always taught this way. I mean, you know, I grew up listening, you know, hearing Quiet Riot, Deep Purple, Paul Revere and the Raiders, the Beatles, the Beach Boys, Twisted Sister, Sepultura, Iron Maiden, Metallica, Kenny G, you know, you name it. I grew up around that. I didn't grow up, you know, with church music. But I wasn't a musically inclined person. But I wanted to have a position, something that I could stand on. But I wanted it to be biblical. And I've read the Bible, just reading it, I don't know how many times. Many, many times. The entire thing, cover to cover. And I've scoured its pages, studying on the subject, and musical genre is not discussed directly. Nor could it be, because think about it. If the Bible was written in very specific terms, how quickly would it become non-applicable? Because the world's constantly changing. New styles, new technologies. It's written mostly in principle form. But the Bible does say that we ought to consider how things affect us and what they do. That everything, whether we, therefore, you know, how's that go again? Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I call that an umbrella verse because it hits absolutely everything. It says, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So everything I do has to serve a purpose. It has to bring God glory. Now, I heard people arguing back and forth about the moral concept of music. And I came to the conclusion that music isn't moral. It's sound. But it does have an effect. And you cannot reasonably argue that different styles of music don't have different effects. Do they play easy listening music at sports games? If music didn't have the ability to have a direct effect on you and influence your emotional state and your attitudes, there would be no such thing as love music, you know, romantic music. There'd be no such, you know, they wouldn't worry so much about the musical scores on movies. They wouldn't play the hard, pounding, driving music at sporting events. But they do, because they've done tons of research into this, and they know that music has an effect. So we ought to consider that effect. What effect is it going to have on us? But more than that, sticking to this passage, it says it is supposed to have a result. And that result is that it is an aid, in this first verse, that it is an aid in filling ourselves with the Holy Spirit. This takes honesty. This is something I realized as I was studying the Bible, that as a Christian, because I'm not under the Jewish law, as a Christian, a lot of my choices are left up to a call of judgment. And I have to consider, what effect does it have on me? Is it helping me or hindering me in my ability to serve the Lord? Does it tempt me to think about ungodly things and to take ungodly actions? If it should move me to respond in a fleshly way, then I ought not to partake. It says spiritual songs, not fleshly songs. Spiritual songs. The second verse, the command is to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And this is, you know, this we have, I skipped something I wanted to address. The first one, there's a division between these two passages. They approach it a little differently. There's the side of this music ministry in our spiritual life that is of a personal nature, individual. It says, speaking to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in our heart. This is more contemplative, more, you know, a personal ministration, being filled with the Spirit. Not an external trying to help someone else, but to help myself. So one thing that music can do is it can aid me in my spiritual walk and in being filled with the Holy Spirit. Secondly, it can teach me. The second one says to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Teaching and admonishing, I basically, you know, to give the basic definition of these, to contrast them, is teaching is giving you information, and admonishing is telling you what to do about it. So teaching is teaching you, you know, like giving you information about what the Bible says, you know, giving you doctrinal information, and admonishing is saying, now this is how you should apply it to your life. These are things you should do and not do. So we're commanded to let God's word dwell in us. Not just dwell in us, but to dwell in us richly, you know, be productive. And one of the ways that we can do this is through the music. Through the music and the singing. That this has, you know, that this can be used as an instrument to teach us about God and His Word. When I was studying that and I was talking to Pastor Weigel, some things popped into my mind. Did you know music can be an aid to memory? That putting something that you want to remember in the form of a song can aid you in remembering? There's a psalm, I don't even remember the reference, but years ago, and we're talking, let me see, what year is this now? 2015? 20 years ago, I learned this. I didn't really try to learn it. I haven't been, you know, I don't have a book with this written somewhere. I don't have it on CD so I can listen to it. I heard this at church. It stuck. And it's a psalm. It's a one of the psalms put to music. And I forget which one. It's like 120-something. But I don't remember. It says, but it goes, and you'll have to excuse me. Once again, I'm not a musically oriented person. But it goes, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that, oh man, how's it go? See, I'm forgetting now because I'm kind of nervous because I don't normally sing in front of people. But they that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bringing their sheaves with them. And because I heard it in music form, I have the whole psalm memorized. When I first came to Indiana, that summer, the summer of 98, a fellow student asked me if I wanted to stay with him and his family to save me some money for the summer until school started. And I said, okay. And at every meal, at the end of the meal, they would sing that passage of scripture that says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And they would say, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. So whether therefore ye eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. I was only stayed in their home for a couple of months, but it stuck with me. And then this one's horrible. People would do plays on hymns or songs and change them a little bit to make them sound weird. And I heard people sing some of these at Heritage. And one day I heard some guy singing this. I was like, man, that's terrible, but it stuck with me. It goes, Revelation, Revelation 21:8, 21:8. Liars go to hell, liars go to hell. Burn, 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 burn. And that's horrible, right? But because I heard that, it stuck with me, and now I have that reference. It's like whenever I'm trying to remember, I was like, where does it list in Revelation about the people who will be cast in the lake of fire? I'm like, oh yeah, Revelation 21:8. The point of these little snippets is that music has a powerful ability to teach us. Did you know God wrote a song? It's not recorded for us. But in Deuteronomy, Moses God told Moses, it says that the Lord wrote a song. And he told him, he said, teach this song to the children of Israel. Music is not important to me on an entertainment level. I'm not given to it. I don't go around listening to music. But I realized as a Christian, because I am a Bible believer, that music was to play an important part in my spiritual life. That I couldn't just ignore it, that I was, you know, ignoring the Word of God when I did so, that the Word of God said to use music. And it has a dual effect on me. It is an aid to being filled with the Holy Spirit, and it is an aid to learning and understanding the Word of God. And that, you know, not just any music, but music, we need to consider music that has that effect, that has that purpose. I have a brother-in-law who likes a genre of music called death metal. Not trying to pick on it, but I can't make out anything being said. I knew someone who was trying to argue. They said, it doesn't matter the genre, it just matters the words. Well, there are genres that, because of the style of music, you can't hear the words. You can't make out the words. But consider the style of music. Can it accomplish these two purposes? Can it teach you? Does it help you learn the Word of God? If it doesn't, then it is not fulfilling this verse. If it is not an aid to being filled with the Holy Spirit and being controlled by Him, then it does not fulfill these verses. I'm not going to tell you who to listen to and who not to listen to, but I don't need to. You need to practice some spiritual judgment and honesty, and consider your entertainments. Consider what you are filling yourself with. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he was talking about putting off the old man and putting on the new man, one of the things he said, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is beautiful, think on these things. I was exposed to so many things in the world, and I was afraid that, I was like, whoa, am I ever going to be able to be a Christian, a real Christian? Or am I forever going to be struggling against the things that I've been exposed to? And I have found that those things are growing dim. That as I keep reinforcing the things of God with what I read and what I watch and what I listen to, that those things are growing dimmer. I also noticed an alarming thing, that somebody was playing a movie and it had some offensive things on it. And at first those offensive things did bother me. But then after a while, it was like it kind of, watching it progress, that just didn't affect me anymore. It didn't bother me anymore. And I became alarmed at that. I was like, wait a minute. Am I losing my sensitivity? You know, your body can get used to a lot of things. You can get used to a lot of things. Not that they aren't harmful. It's just after a while you don't notice them as much. I used to work a job where I had to be around heat all the time. Mrs. Weigel at one point, you know, would say every once in a while that I had asbestos hands, because I went out with them to a restaurant, and the the waiter came with my dish, and it was a fajita something or other, and he had mitts on, and he's holding it, and he says, and I was reaching where he goes, this is really hot, and I grabbed it, and I said, thank you. And I just held it there for a moment looking at him. I said, thank you, and I set it down, and Mrs. Weigel said, he has asbestos hands. I was working this job, and what it was is I worked at a place that was a bakery, and at one point I was working, and I was taking stuff out of the gigantic oven. You know, we could bake hundreds of things at one shot, you know. And I'm just going as fast as I can, taking stuff out and putting stuff in. Well, at one point I'm like, why are my hands starting to hurt? And then I realized I'd been pulling the pans out of the oven, you know, 350, 400 degrees, with no gloves on. I couldn't imagine doing that now. I think it would just like sear me. But at that point, it just was starting to hurt. I had built up calluses, and it took a while for the sensation to, you know, get through my deadened fingers. But that's what happens to us. We become deadened to a thing. The Bible talks about the lost person having a heart of stone, or having a hardened heart, not sensitive. God says about the lost person, he says, I will take away your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. A sensitivity to the things of God and to right and wrong. We can deaden ourselves to the things we expose ourselves to. And we need to be aware. We need to be aware and honest and consider, does this magnify the things of God and His Word in my life? Or does this encourage me to think in a sensual way, to think about my flesh and to think about ungodly things? Music is powerful. It is a... it is a language, to borrow other people's wording, it is a language that speaks directly to the heart. And God says, not that we are to ignore it, but that we are to use it. But use it, like all other things, use it to His honor and glory. It can be a powerful tool in aiding us in our walk with Christ. It can also be used to draw us away. And we need to be honest. Not try to make excuses and just ask the question when we consider what we're going to listen to or look at or read or whatever. Answer the question honestly. Does this lend itself to aiding me in Christ-likeness, or does this draw me astray? Thank you for your time. Let's close in prayer, and then we'll have a break and meet again at 15:45. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your great love. I pray, Father, that you be with us now and bless today's services to your honor and glory. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.